Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Bava Metziyot Tzadi Vav. We are holding partway down the Amid, so it's the 20th line from the top of the Amid. Boi Rami Bar Chama. We know that a fellow who is a Shayed, he borrows an item for personal use. He is now fully responsible. He carries the highest level of liability. Even if an oynes, total accident takes place and damages or destroys the item, he is still chayev. As opposed to, let's say, a shomer sachar, a fellow is just watching an item. So although he's getting paid for it, his level of responsibility is less than a shayel. So the question is, what constitutes a shayel? Boy Rami Bar Chama. He had a question. Shalal Rava Mao. Let's say a fellow borrowed the animal. The Rava to do an aver with the animal, to be physically involved as married. Mao, what is the halacha in this case? Is he chayev? Even if an oynes occurs, even if an accident occurs, like any other borrower of an item, or shall we say, he doesn't have a status of a shayel. Rather, he is only considered a shomer sachar, as the Ritva explains. So, you know, what are the two ways to look at this? Says the Gemara, Kedeshayli Inshi Ba'inan, does it have to be, you know, for typical, standard use? Lohachilo Yishayli Inshi, and this is not, this type of use is not what typically people borrow an animal for, and therefore he's not considered a Shoyodilma, or we can say, Tama Mai. Let's go down to the root. Why? In fact, do we say a shayel, you know, carries the highest level of responsibility? Mishum hano, because he gets benefit. V'hainami ha'isli hano, and this fellow as well. Next question. Shala le'ro'ispa. Suppose he's not actually intending on using, you know, the animal or the item for actual use. He's just using it to make a statement, to impress people, as though he's a rich man, which will you know, gain him favor in other people's eyes, who might extend him some credit. So he's getting some, you know, residual benefit. Not direct benefit, but Sha'ala le'ro'is b'mau. Is he considered a shayel? Shall we say that as long as the fellow gets some monetary benefit, he's considered a shayel v'ha'ika? And we have that factor here as well. He's getting some benefit from this animal. Or no, mamoina diisli hanaminei ba'inan. We require that you have benefit directly from the item. But likely you don't have it in this case. Next question. Sha'Allah, la'asais ba'pochis miprutamah. Let's say you borrowed the animal or the tool to use it for some sort of work, some sort of malacha, which is very little. He's only going to get, you know, very little benefit, less than a pruta of value from this animal. Mahu, what is the halacha here? Mamoina ba'inan v'ikah, shall we say, as long as he gets some, that's okay. Idil mal kal pachis mipruta loy klumui. Or you can say, no, less than a pruta of value is has no chashid, has no significance. It's not called malacha that he has anah from it, and therefore he's not a shayel. Next question, which is sort of, you know, an add-on to the previous question. Shal shtei parois lasis behen pruta. Let's say he borrowed two animals to use them jointly for some sort of task, which provides a pruta of value. Maho, what is the halacha here? Mi amrin zil basar shayel mashal. So if we look at the personal aspect, the lender of the two animals and the borrower, there is a pruta exchanging hand. He's getting a pruta of benefit from this transaction, v'ika. So therefore it qualifies. Dilma no. Zilbas of Paris. Look at the actual items involved, the animals. V'chol chada v'chada. And look at each one. It's not really producing a pruta. Leka, mamayna. There's no value there. Okay, so this sort of concludes a string of shailos regarding the parameters of a shayel. Now, we move on to the concept of, we go back to the concept of Baal of Imoy. So we learn that when a fellow borrows an item and the owner of that item comes along to serve the borrower, right, in some capacity, Baal of Imoy, lo yishalim, the fellow now is not responsible for things which he typically would be responsible for. So the question is, to what extent? What constitutes Baal of Imoy? And again, we're going to have all kinds of different colorful situations We'd like to know whether they qualify for Baal of Imai. Shal Mishutfin. A fellow borrowed an animal from Reuben and Shimon, who were partners on his animal. Vinish Shaloi Echad Mehen. Now only Reuben came to serve the borrower, to help the borrower. So it's only one of the two owners that are coming as Baal of Imai. Mah, what is the halacha? Kulay Ba'inan, Baal of Ba'inan Ba'alaka. Do we require the entire ownership? The whole Baalim has to come along with the animal. You don't have it in this case. It's only one of the two owners. Or you can say no. The fact is, I'll be potter from at least that half of liability, which corresponds to Reuven's ownership. So is it all or nothing? Or do we say, you know, we can sort of split it up piecemeal? Next question. Flip around the case. Shutfin Shishalu. Reuven and Shimon are both, you know, partners in a property, and they borrowed an animal. From Levi, okay? V'nisha le'echad mehen, Levi is now serving only Reuben, right? In a different capacity, unrelated to this joint property. What is the halacha here? Ma'u? Kulo yishoyel be'inan ve'leka. Do we need that the owner should be serving the entire borrowing entity? In this case, it entails two people, Reuben and Shimon, are both borrowing. He's not serving both. Ve'leka, you don't have that. Oidulma v'yipalga de'shayel. Shaila Mias Mifter. On the other hand, we can say that that half is enough. Right? So the half that he was helping him on. Right? So let's say he was helping Shimon. Or only Reuben, so at least Reuben, or at least only Shimon, will be potter from that half that he himself is responsible for. Right? So we have Reuben and Shimon are partners, borrowing an item from Levi, and Levi is helping out Reuben in a different, you know, in a different job. Do we say, it doesn't work because he's not helping out the entire borrowing entity, which involves two people, right? He's not Baal of Imai with Reuben and with Shimon. On the other hand, you can say that at least let him be exempt from half, meaning, let's say he's helping Reuben, so Reuben should be exempt from his liability on that half that he would typically be responsible for. Next question. Shalma Isha, a fellow borrowed from a married woman. He borrowed Nichse Malok, right, which is basically possessions or properties which she had taken in with her into the marriage, and technically it belongs to her, but the husband has access rights, usage rights, right? So now, let's say a person borrowed a behemoth from Nichsen Belog, from a married woman, Venishal Baal. Now, instead of the actual owner, which is technically the woman, the husband was the one actually lent himself out and is serving the borrower, right? So the question, should we consider him act like a ba'alim? Because the fact is he has usage rights to this item, or do we say, no, technically she's the real owner? Baal of Imai would require the Isha's presence, not the husband. Or you can do it the other way. Isha Shashala, let's say we flip the case around. Isha Shashala, a married woman, borrowed an animal, okay? Vinishal, and the owner of that animal, right, so she took the animal to plow, you know, her nichsei maluk. Vinishal lebal, and the one who lent the animal, instead of making himself available to the isha, serving her, he is helping the husband do whatever he needs to do. Maho, what's the aloha in this case? Shall we say, kinyan peiros, the fact that the husband here has a kinyan peiros. He gets the produce off the nichsei maluk. He has usage rights. Kinyan haguftami. That's an aspect of actual, you know, ownership. In which case, if he's the owner to a certain extent, so when the fellow borrowed the nichsei maluk from the isha and the husband came along for the ride, so to speak, you have Baal of Imai. Likewise, in the reverse case, where the isha borrowed to plow through the nechsei melug, and the owner is serving the husband. Right. So since he's also a very important player, he's like an owner on this field, so it's like he borrowed the item, in which case, when the owner of that item is serving the husband, you have bala v'ima. Which way? I have another question regarding she'ela v'bailam, regarding bala v'ima. He'd say, v'yishael li. In parasi. Reuven instructs his shliach Shimon, you know, please, do me a favor. I'm lending out, my para to Levi. Please go help Levi. So I'm basically loaning Shimon together with my cow to Levi. What is the halach? Is it considered like Baal of Imai? Because Shimon is sort of representing Reuven, the owner, going on his behalf to help Levi. Or do we say, no, the fact is you're not the actual owner? And then one explains, Baal of Mamash Bina, do we need the actual owner? Valeka, you don't have it in this case. Adilma, or you can say, no, Shluch Shlom Kemoisei, right? A person's agent is treated like him, like the person himself. Veika, so you have the owner, along with the animal. Amalei Rav Acha, Breder Rav Avi, Rav Ashi. So basically we had two questions regarding Baal of Yimei now. One is regarding a husband and wife. What is the status of the husband? Is he considered like a true owner? Or just like a partial owner with access and is not considered Baal Avimai? We had a question regarding a shliach. He's representing the owner, but he's not the actual owner. Amalei Rav Acha Brei d'Rav Avyo l'Rav Ashi. I'm going to clarify both questions. Pertaining to the question on the Baal, the husband, well, that's an old machlekes. Plukta d'Rav Yechon Rav Shlokesh. I'm going to see in a minute. Regarding the next question of a shliach, well, plukta d'Rav Yenis and Rav Yeshe. That's a machlekes tanoim. So basically, these two questions are connected to a machlekes tanoim. Sorry, the first one to a machlekes amarayim, the second one to a machlekes tanoim. Regarding the status of a husband vis-a-vis the wife's assets, baal plukta d'Rav Yechon Rav Shlokesh. Because remember, the husband's access is called kinyan peiros. He gets income, he gets produce. He doesn't actually own the item. So that's an old question. When you have kinyan peiros, is it considered like ownership or not? Plukta d'Rav Yechon Rav Shlokesh. Od machlokes d'itma, as we learned. Amoicher sadeyu l'chaveru l'peiros. Reuven sells a field to Shimon, but not the actual field. You can have 10 years of produce off the field. That's kinyan peiros. Rabbi Yechon Oimer, maybe v'koyer, when it comes time to bring the first growth to Yerushalayim, the Bikurim, you can bring it and recite the Parsha as though you're an owner, even though you're not really on the deed. You just purchased the produce. Kinyan peiros is considered an aspect of actual ownership in the actual property. So you can go to Yerushalayim and you can tell Hashem, look, thank you for the property, etc. Rosh Lakish Omer, maybe even a Kohen, although he'll bring the peiros, but he can't, read out the Parsha there, which indicates that he's really the owner. And the Gemara elaborates further. Rabbi Yechon Omer, maybe the Kohen, he's a true owner, because Kinyan peiros ki Kinyan Guf Tami, so as though he's owning the actual item. Rosh Lakish Omer, maybe even a Kohen, he'll bring, but he doesn't have to. He can't say the Parsha, because Kinyan peiros, that limited access, is Lavka Kinyan Guf Tami, it's not tantamount to actual ownership. Likewise, now a case with the husband. It's Kinyan peiros. Is he an owner? Is he not? Well, according to Rabbi Yechon, he is. According to Rosh Lakish, he's not. Regarding the second question of a shliach, well, that's a plukta d'Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yashu. That's a machlokes regarding nedarim, the sanya. Ha'imar l'apotropos. So we know that a husband can nullify his wife's vows by making hafara, right? Null and void, right? So he can tell an agent, Ha'imel Petropos, he tells his shliach, a fellow who administers his property, he says, look, do me a favor, call nedarim shtei ishti nedaris. All these nedarim that my isha might make from now till then, mikan atcha'ovei makomplein, look, I'm going out of town for 2 weeks, from now till 2 weeks' time, whatever you hear my wife doing, any nedarim, go cancel it for me. Hafrila, ve'hefrila, and that Petropos did that. Shall we say that it really works? That the hafara cancels the nether time of labor? No. You need the actual husband. No agents, no emissaries, no representatives, right? The husband, only the husband has the ability to certify or to nullify the Nedarim de Rabbi Yeshia. That's Rabbi Yeshia's Shita. Rabbi Yenison Omer, no, Matzina Mechal Makoim. Just like anywhere else in the Torah, a shliach of a person, you know, is treated like the original person, right? Same thing with Afaros Nadarim. You don't need the actual husband if he has a shliach to do it for him. Then it works. So, bottom line, the Gemara is comparing the two concepts, Baal of Imay to Afaros Nadarim. Right? How personal does it have to be? Do you need the actual person here? Ba'al of Imay, not a shliach? Just like by a first and dorm, the husband and nobody else. Or shall we say, no? A shliach works under all circumstances, and you can have Ba'al of Imay performed by a shliach. Interesting. Tesis asks, what's the connection between, you know, Hafaras Nadarim to Ba'al of Imay? He says that Rabbi Yashi's Shita is based on the fact that the Torah repeats the word Isha. Isha Yikimenu, Isha. Only the husband can do that, as opposed to a Shliach. Likewise, by Ba'al of Imay, the word Ba'al of is said twice in the Torah. Right? Ba'al of Imay, Lo Yishalam, Ein Ba'al of Imay, right? So, you know, perhaps the Torah is stressing, right? According to Rabbi Yashi, the Torah is stressing that it has to be personal, not by way of a representative. Another Torah says Tesis, because the Lashon, Ba'al of Imay, sounds like the owner, Isha, the husband. You need the personal factor here. You can't have a Shliach. Amalei Rav Ilish L'Rava, says the Gemara, six lines off the bottom. Amalei Rav Ilish L'Rava, Ha'im L'Avdu. Okay, now we have an Eved, right? So he has a slave, and he says to him, you know, do me a favor. Say, v'yishoil in parosi, ma'o. I'm lending my para to my dear friend Shimon, please go help him out. Is that called Ba'al of Imay or not? So although we already discussed this question, a similar question about using a shliach, but an Eved is different. So this question regarding an Eved can be posed whether you hold that a shliach works for Ba'al of Imay, and to Ba'al of Madamar, shluch shladam ainu kemoisei. It can be posed and presented according to the other view as well, even if you hold, typically a shliach cannot serve in this role, but an eved perhaps is different. And the Gemara explains. On the one hand, to Ba'al of Madamar, shluch shladam kemoisei, even if you say a shliach works, ha nimil a shliach dvar mitzvahu, perhaps that only pertains to a shliach like a yid, who does mitzvahs like you do, and he can represent you. Rashi says, a shliach has to be somebody that follows the same lifestyle as you, has the same, you know, status as you. Aval Eved, but an Eved who doesn't have that status. The lav bar mitzvah, he doesn't have the same mitzvahs as you. So perhaps he cannot really serve as a shliach in this case. On the other hand, you can say, even if you hold it typically, a shliach doesn't work for Ba'al of Imay. That's only if you appoint a random person as a shliach. Aval Eved, but a slave, yad Eved, yad Rabbi, his hand is like my hand. Damya, it's treated like one entity. He's totally subservient, he's bottled to the master. And perhaps he can be considered Ba'al of Imay in lieu of the master. Amalei, so he responded, Mistabra, that's the correct approach. Yad Eved, yad Rabbi, Damya. He's totally, he's so like a mirror image of his master. He can represent him, and it's called Ba'al of Imay. Continues the Gemara on the topic of Nichsei Miluk and regarding the husband's, rights concerning his wife's assets. Boy Rami Bar Chama, Ba'al b'Nichsei Ishtoi. So, let's say the wife has an animal of Nichsei Miluk, okay, and he's using it. What status does he have? Shoyel havi, oy seicher havi. Is he considered like a shoyel and he's chayv for oynes? Or is he merely a seicher, like a renter, and he has a lower level of responsibility? Why would he be a seicher? So Rashi later says, because the fact is, it obligates him. The right to use her items obligates him to redeem her if in fact she gets, you know, she's taken captive. So there's sort of like a potential payment here. There's a commitment that he's committing to in exchange for this use. So perhaps he's a soicher. Okay, so that was the question. Amar Rava. Rava was taken aback by this question. Levum churfa shabasht. Because you're so sharp, Rami Bar Chama, so you sort of got confused and, you know, you presented this confusing question. Meaning, what do you mean to ask? Manashach. What difference does it make whether he's considered a shayel or a soicher? At the end of the day, she's around, right? And she is with him as he's using her item. It's ba'al avimoy. In any case, he's exempt, right? So the whole question is irrelevant. Manashach, is shayel avi? If you consider him a shayel, he's exempt. Shayel ba'alam hi. A soicher avi? If he's a soicher, same story. Schirus ba'alam hi. He's renting with the owner. So what's the point of discussing this? Ella says the Gemara, no, it wasn't such a simple question as we thought. We thought it was pertaining to the husband's rights and his wife's assets, right? No. His question was like this. It was a much more complicated story. Da'agar mina poro v'hadar naspa. What happened was that this fellow, Reuben, had rented a parah from Rachel before they married. And now he married her. So the question is, what status does he have regarding her assets once they're married? Because when he rented initially, there was no ball of imai, right? He was a regular renter. But now, she's around. And so-called, you know, serving him, right? Shoyal Havi. What's his current status? Is he considered a borrower because now he's accessing the assets because of his status as her husband, as Nechse Maluk? So perhaps it elevates him. He's no longer just a renter, he's a shoyel. Right? Shoyel, have you? And we'll see in a minute. Okay, so that's one way to look at it. Or does he remain a renter? And the Gemara explains, shoyel havi, shall we say he's a shoyel? So basically he went from a renter to a borrower. Va'as yesheilu v'baylam. But this borrowing stage at this point is sheilu v'baylam because the wife is there serving him. So that undoes, it overrides his previous status. Mafka schiru sheilu v'baylam, it undoes the rental status, which did not have the aspect of balav imay. Right, so it went from a plain sechirus, was upgraded to a she'ela b'ba'alam, and now he's potter. Or you can say, no, secher hafi. We treat the husband regarding the nichsim luk as a renter. So basically, there was no change in status. He was a renter, and he still is a renter. Was sechirus k'dekayim k'ayimah, and he's the same old renter. So since when he rented initially, there was no ba'al of imay, so he retains that status, and he's responsible. Asks more why, what do you mean? That should also change. Because now we're introducing a new element of Balav Imai. Once she marries him. What's the difference if you go with the first approach that he turned into a Shoyel? We say, okay, it undoes the previous status. The Asi Shoyel Vabalim. The Shoyel with the Balam comes and undoes Mafka Schirus. Shoyel Vabalim is Schirus without the owner that was there until now. Is soicher nami havi? Even if he's a soicher, that should also be sufficient to undo his previous status, which was lacking ba'al of imay, right? Teisi schirus bebalim v'teifuk schirus b'shuli bebalim. The schirus bebalim that's currently happening should undo the schirus without the balim that was there until now. So either way, we have the element of ba'al of imay, whether he's a soicher or a shoyel, ba'al of imay, and he's potter. Okay, so that doesn't work. Ella rather. We have a third approach, yet a third way to understand the question posed by Rami Bar Chama. It gets even more complicated. For instance, like this. Da'agra ihi para ma'alma. Rachel rented the para from some random, you know, rental agency, right? V'adar naspa, but now Reuben married Rachel. And he gains access to this animal, right? He has a right to use the animal. And uh, The question is like this. If something happens, okay, is he going to pay or not? Now, you may recall back in Perek HaMafka, Naflamed Hei, we had a machlokes. We're going to get a similar situation. Shimon borrowed a parah from Reuven, and then he rented it. Shimon rented a parah from Reuven, then he lent it to Levi. And something happens under Levi's watch, which makes him chayev. All right, so the rabbanon say, well, Levi has to pay Shimon, and Shimon really doesn't have to pay Reuven because he's just a renter. Renter is not chayev for accidents. So basically, Shimon ends up making money off the deal. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't do that. How can you make money off the other person's, you know, losses? Actually, Levi has to deal directly with the owner, with Reuven, and pay him for the lost cow. That was a machlokes we had back in the Flamed Hei. The Gemara is comparing our case to that halacha, because here in similar fashion we have a renter lending it to somebody else. She rented the animal, now she married, so now he's sort of using it as a borrower, as a shoyo, and something happens. So let's analyze this question based on both opinions. Okay, let's go down both tracks now. Valiba the Rabbanon, now according to the Rabbanon's view, which is the Amri, they say shoyel mishal nasoicha, that the shoyel, in the case of Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, it's Levi who borrowed from Shimon, he has to pay Shimon, and Shimon ends up making money, right? So basically, Levi is dealing with Shimon. That's the Rabbanon's view. He's not dealing with the original owner. His issue is with Shimon. You lent me the animal, I got to deal with you. So there's no question as to what's going to happen in our case, where likewise, the husband sort of borrowed the rented cow from the wife. Since his deal is directly with the Isha, he doesn't relate to the owner, he relates to the Isha who sort of lent it to him. The fact is, she lent it to him, because she was with the animal, she was on the scene at the time when the She'elo commenced with her husband. So of course he's potter. The question, however, can still be posed according to the other opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that at the end of the day, you have to deal with the original owner. Bypass the middleman. Levi has to go straight to Reuven. He owes to Reuven. He's obliged to Reuven. He has to repay the original owner. So the question now would be, my, if we have the husband who took it from the wife, who took it from the renter, but now the husband has to deal directly with the renter. So what status does the husband have in this animal? Is he a borrower or a renter, right? Back to the same old question. Shoyel havi or seicher havi? So basically, there's no ba'al avimai. Because we ignore the fact that the wife is on the scene. She's not a player. He's got to deal with the original owner. So there's no ba'al avimai. He's chayev. Question, to what extent is he chayev? Is he considered like a shoyel? He's fully chayev even for einus, or merely limited liabilities like a seicher? A seicher havi. Amar Rava, not this nor that. Ba'al, a husband. Lo yishoyel havi, lo yishoyel havi. What then is he? Elu lekeach havi. He's like a fellow who purchased. He's like a customer. In which case, he's not liable. He's potter. Midr Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, it's based on this halacha. Amar Yossi Rav Chanina, b'Usha Iskinu, when the Sanhedrin was posted in the town of Usha, they were masakin, they established this principle, that ha'isha shamachar b'nichsim b'luk b'chayi b'ala. Where do we find that a husband has din of the keach? In the following case, let's say a wife decided to sell her nichsei meluk during her husband's lifetime. Umeis, and then she died. The fellow wants to keep the property. No, no, no. Habal moitzi miad lekuches. The husband can come running and says, no, I'm in there first because the chachamim gave me a din of a buyer. I'm the first buyer. So that's the conclusion on this shayla. Here comes another question from the same Amoiro. Baal b'nichse ishto, mimal. Let's say a wife inherited a huge estate. That's your classic nichse miluk, right? And in that estate we have some hegdish property. Unbeknown to her, we have some hegdish money belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the husband is going to access all this property, all this money, and going to use it. At this point, he hadn't used it yet, but it's accessible to him. It's available to him. So who commits mi'ilah? The Gemara figures out that's enough to be considered Me'ila. That's a diversion. You really, the fact that it's available to you and you're going to use it, that's considered already having taken it away from Hekdesh. That's considered a diversion. That's considered Me'ila. So who's responsible? Meanwhile, Amar of a mandamal. Who should be responsible for Me'ila? Limal Baal. Want to blame it on the husband? I'm not interested. If only I would have known what's there, I wouldn't have, right? I wouldn't want it. Leteir nichle de likni. He wants to take only things which are permissible. Yisura lo nichle de likni. He has no interest in taking something which is forbidden. Okay, so he's out of the picture. What about her? Timal I. Maybe she's considered one who transgressed Mila because she granted it to the husband, right? She allowed him to take it. Well, guess what? She's not even interested in the whole process. It's a takanas chachamim. She didn't initiate. She didn't volunteer to give it to the husband. That teir nami lo nichala delikni. If it's up to her, even things which are permissible, she wouldn't voluntarily give it to the husband. Rashi says, el al karcha tikmul chacham. Chacham made a takana. Didn't ask her for her consent. So basically, it's not her doing. Okay, so nimalu bezn. So let's blame it, so to speak, on the bezn. Why? So Rashi says like this. I mean, which bezn is involved? Which bezn is liable? Nimalu bezn shal Yisrael shabai sadar. That generation's bezn is responsible because they're the one implementing this concept that her husband gets the nechsimalu. Shekol takanois mishpat tluya behen. Val yedein, says Rashi, mehagois chukois hamusukanam latzibu mioz. They're the ones who are, you know, activating these concepts, these takanos. Vavi kemoi shetikn lehem kinyazeh. It's as though they're personally responsible for giving him this money. V'nimtzu, says Rashi, 5 lines off the bottom. Nimtzu heim amaknim lenichse eglish v'yitzim luchun. This transfer is attributed to the bezn. They're the ones that are empowering him, that are authorizing him to access this this money. Says the Gemara, okay, so he's out, she's out. What about the bezn? No, bezn is not to be blamed. Ki abdu rabbonu takanta. You know, true, the chacham made a takana, v'amru baal l'keichavi, he's a buyer, he has a right. L'teira. They only made the takana for things which are mutter. L'yisur l'yavdu rabbonu takanta. They never would have made this takana for isur. Of course, they're not giving him access to Hekdesh money. So who's responsible for the Me'ila? Elam HaRabba says, Rabbi, you're right. Nobody's, at this early point, before the money has been spent or used, there's no Me'ila. Baal Malk Sheyotze. Oh, if the husband actually takes that money and physically spends it, then he did Me'ila. Even though it was, a mistake, even though, right, he was unaware. Mita Dahava Amoitzi Mois Hekdesh L'chul. It's like any other Hekdesh money which somebody spends for non-Hegdish purposes. He commits Me'ila by actually spending the money. Okay, let's go back to this basic halacha of a shoyel. You borrow an item, something happens, even an accident, even oynes your chayv. The question was like this. Chash basra machmas malacha mai. Using the animal, right? Putting it through some hard work. And, you know, the basra, the flesh, the animal itself got a bit weaker and lost its value somewhat. Mai. Does the borrower have to pay for that as well? Is that like a chiv of oynes that he has to pay? No, says the Gemara. So this certain chacham, Rav Chilkiya Breda of Abishmei, that was his name, he responded, he says, how could you, do you mean to say if the animal dies as it's working? Right? Just, collapses. He's mechayev, he's chayev. How could you say that? How could you suggest that he's chayev? Name of, you know, the fellow could say, look, what do you think I borrowed it for if not to work? Lav ukma bekilta. The purpose wasn't to put it in a cage. Shilta. That's not what I borrowed it for show. I borrowed to work with it. Of course, I'm not responsible if it dies just naturally as it's working. Elam Rav says, Rav, you're right. Of course, needless to say that any sort of weakening that occurs through the malacha, of course, he's not chayef for that. Even if it dies as it's working as potter, because of this very argument, I can say, Lav lo ukma bekilta. I didn't borrow it to put it in the cage. How gavu, there was a story about this fellow, the shoyel naga b'chaver, he borrowed an axe from his friend. It burr, and it broke. Also, the rabbi comes to the rabbi. Amalei, he says to him, Zulaisi sadi, just simply bring some edim, the lav shon is spade that, you didn't abuse it, you used it properly, vifater, viptar, and you'll be putter from payment, because, as we said, this is called mesa machas malacha. It was damaged as it was being used properly. What if he can't prove his case? He doesn't have witnesses. Mai, what's the halacha? So the question is, of course he has to pay, but does he have to pay the full value of a new axe, or can we deduct the value of the broken parts and he only has to pay the difference? Toshmai comes at Raida Ugavra, a similar story about the fellow, the Shol Nagam Khabari borrowed an axe. And it broke, this time he was negligent. He's fully responsible. Also, I mean, the rabbi comes to Rabbi Amalei Zil Shlimle Nargamali. Pay him a full, beautiful new axe. No deduction, no discounts. Amri Leid Rav Kahana Rav Asi, they turn to the Rav. Dina Achi, is this the correct approach to things? What do you mean? We learned about Baba Kama. Remember, if you damage something, you don't have to pay the difference. You don't have to give him a brand new item. He starts to Rav, and Rav was silenced. He didn't have an answer. Bilchasa, and that's the Alocha. Rav Kahana Rav Asi, the Mahadale Tavre. Firstly, he gives him back his broken, you know, pieces, and he gives him, you know, the balance between the value of the broken, you know, parts to what it costs to buy a new one. That's the extent of his responsibility. Just learn one more thing. Yeah, Gavra, there's another story of a fellow, the Shol Davim Chavrei. He borrowed a pail from his friend. Vidbarn broke. Also, come to Rav Papa. Comes to Rav Papa. Amalei. Rav Papa tells him, "I see. Sadly, shoni spei. Just prove. Bring Adam that you didn't. You were not careless. You weren't negligent. Vidbar and Vipater, despite the fact that you're a shoyel, who's chayv and oynes. But this is like a mesa machmas malacha, which we said is pater. Okay. So let's just recap today's daf. We tried to figure out the parameters of a shoyel, the parameters of Baal of Imoy, what's considered an owner. We learned about the halacha of a Baal b'nechse ishtei lekeach, and the concept of meisa machas malacha, and even a shoyel is pater. All the best to you, and hatzlacha.